for one, one for another. With the name of love above all other. In every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Hello, good morning. Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. My name is Tisok Rosales, and I'm filling in for our regular host, Patrick Conley, who is on vacation. So happy vacation, Patrick. I currently serve as the development director for St. John Vianney College Seminary, and I'm also an associate director of advancement for the St. Paul Seminary. And in addition to that, I'm a lifelong Catholic in this archdiocese. My wife and I and our family are parishioners at St. Joseph's Church in West St. Paul, and I'm very glad to be with you today. Like I said, I'm sitting in for Patrick Conley, and so I'll serve as your guest host for this episode of the Rediscover Hour. And we have a great show put together for you today, which includes a couple of things. One of the things we'll hear about is some highlights from the Catholic Schools Center of Excellence, their first ever Catholic School Summit. Now, this is important to all of us. It's important to me because all of my children attend the local Catholic schools, so I can't wait to hear about it. And then we'll also be hearing from two great priests of the church. First, Monsignor Aloysius Callahan, who's the current rector of the St. Paul Seminary, whom I've had the honor of working for the last few years. And then we'll bring on Monsignor Thomas Richter from the Diocese of Bismarck, who we'll all get to know very well in the local church in the years ahead, and we'll tell you why a little bit later in the show. So first of all, let's hear a little bit about what we're going to hear first. The Catholic Schools Center of Excellence, CSCO, hosted their first ever Catholic School Summit named Called to Excellence. It took place just yesterday, and actually our regular host, Patrick Conley, was there to capture some of the highlights. And just a preview of what we're going to hear, invited to this summit were to this event were all Catholic school staff and faculty who strive for excellence in pre-K to 8th school in the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis. These were people like front desk personnel, teachers, maintenance professionals, school lunch, nutrition experts, pastors, the principals, counselors, librarians, I mean, everybody, communication staff. And the day included Mass, of course, dynamic keynote, breakout sessions on relevant topics, and also some opportunities for attendees to connect with colleagues throughout the Archdiocese who make our Catholic schools excellent. So, as we all know, CSCO is a nonprofit organization with a simple two-part mission to help Catholic elementary schools achieve and maintain excellence while increasing student enrollment. So, when we come back from the break, what we're going to be listening to is a recording of highlights from the Call to Excellent Catholic Schools Summit. Before our first commercial break, though, let's do something that I know Patrick likes to do. Let's pray together, shall we? So let's pray for all those listening in their cars or at home. Let's pray for our guests that God uses all of us that are a part of this show for His holy will. We'll ask Jesus' Mother Mary to intercede for us as we pray together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Rediscover. Hope restored. Hearts healed. Lives changed.
Relevant Radio.
Hello, Catalina. Welcome to Morning Air.
Yes, it was through Relevant Radio that I survived my divorce. I battled my divorce for about 3.5 years. And whenever I turned on the radio, it seemed like, you know, God was speaking through Drew. He gave me hope.
Hope that is only found in Jesus Christ. Relevant Radio.
I lost my house. I was out of town for about 6 months. Gone to the Holy Hour almost every day. God is good. God is great.
Did you pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet with Drew, Catalina?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I've been with Drew since he started the show.
Miracles happen. Prayers get answered with the Divine Mercy Chaplet, don't they?
Oh, yes.
Proclaiming the truth and beauty of the Catholic Church. We love to do that day in and day out. It's so needed, this spot of sunshine on your radio dial.
The Divine Mercy Chaplet, part of the Drew Mariani Show. 4 Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio.
Hello, this is Patrick Conley from the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, reporting to you from the Catholic School Center of Excellence, Catholic School Summit, Call to Excellence, that took place on Wednesday, October 18th at the Minneapolis Convention Center. It's exciting to be here. Let's take a listen to some of the folks who were involved with this event.
Hello, this is Gail Dorn. I am the president of the Catholic School Center of Excellence. About a year ago, we had the great luxury of hosting an event for 14,000 of our Catholic school students, and we did an outdoor Mass, Mass of the Holy Spirit. And we hosted that in St. Paul in an outdoor stadium, the CHS Saint Stadium, aptly named. It was such an impactful event that on that day, after Mass, we decided that we wanted to do something similar for all of our Catholic school faculty and staff. So about a year ago, that idea came into our mind. We've been planning it ever since. First of all, this is historic. Patrick, I'm not aware of any other archdiocese that has hosted the complete faculty and staff from schools. So that is important and significant. We have almost 2,000 people coming. And we started out thinking, let's host our teachers and our faculty, our principals and teachers. And then we decided there are so many people that make our Catholic schools excellent, and we want to include them all the people that make our schools great. And our goals for today are pretty simple. Number one, we just want to show appreciation and gratitude for these people who commit so much to our children and the future of the church. It is a vocation to work in a Catholic school. Number two, we had the great luxury of working with all 79 of our Catholic grade schools in this archdiocese. And so we've been in every school, and we see their excellence, and we want them to meet each other. We think that it raises the bar when you meet your peers, and that professional development can happen, all boats rise. Number three, it is a different era for Catholic schools. We must seek excellence, and we want to seek growth. More souls for Christ. So we need to challenge ourselves, learn more, figure out a way to do things differently and better. And that's what this day is about connecting those dots for people. That's our goals, and we're so excited, and it is historic. I'm a little giddy. I am so glad that we are starting with Mass. Archbishop Hebda and many of our priests are here to celebrate with us. It's a perfect way to begin a historic event. We literally have people from all over the country and the world to present excellence to our faculty and staff. Jonathan Doyle is here from Australia. He has a program called Going Deeper that is in thousands and thousands of schools and parishes around the world. He is our keynote speaker. We have people from all over the country who work in Catholic education who are here to talk and present information and challenge our professionals within our schools. We have beautiful sponsors that have helped us pull this off. And at lunchtime, we are inviting them to have lunch with all of our 2,000 attendees. So it's going to be time for relaxation and networking, but it's also time to learn. Really, our organization is built on faith. We have faith that the wider community cares about these schools, and we have faith that we need to invest in these schools for the future. That is our hope and desire, that we get to continue to serve these schools. We get to continue to invest in excellence, and I would love to see this as part of our offering to all of our schools, and I would also love to see this happen around the country for other Catholic schools. We have a long and beautiful history of Catholic education in America, and our immigrant forefathers built the largest school system, private school system, in the world. It is a parochial system. It is unique to Catholic education. It is important for the leadership of our church, and it is important for our country. And I would just say to everybody working in a Catholic school here and nationally, first of all, thank you for saying yes to this vocation. And I would challenge them to seek a bright future, to seek growth, more souls for Christ, and to seek excellence, because that is the very heart and soul of who we are as Catholics. We seek truth, and I think it's beautifully done in our Catholic schools, and I would like to see it grow, not just for my children and my grandchildren, but for their grandchildren.
My name is Jonathan Doyle. I founded the media company that we run. I'm, a global speaker and author, and excited to be here today doing a keynote. I wrote a book recently called Tools and Fuels, How Catholic Teachers Can Become Saints, Beat Burnout, and Save the World. So over the last 2 decades working with tens of thousands of teachers around the world, I've observed that so many of them experience burnout, exhaustion, fatigue. So today I'm going to be highlighting some of that and showing them a bunch of things they can do to allow God to really transform their vocation. I often say if people are called into a vocation, it's on God. It's His problem to sustain them. And I think a lot of people are getting tired and, the purposes of God, I think what He wants to do through education and through Catholic teachers is powerful stuff, and I'm just going to give people some ideas about how they can really step into that. What I observe in the US is that there is a passion for Catholic education. People here have to live or die by their Catholicity. They have to have a genuine Catholic identity. As an observer, I just think the US Catholic education system probably doesn't realise how awesome it already is and what it has to offer. So I love coming here to sort of say to people, hey, what you're doing is fantastic. We're not done yet. I'm going to be talking to leaders today about a surrender mentality. I have no time for surrender mentality. That's from Cardinals down. This isn't a time for surrender. This is a time for really growing closer to Jesus and stepping into what God has for education. I think that it's really that if you have a vocation as a baptized Christian, the closer you grow to Jesus, the more effectively that vocation is carried out, whether it's in media, whether it's in teaching. And I just think for complex reasons we can forget that very easily, and the source of energy that we need to sustain us in the vocations. It is my first time in Minneapolis and Paul. It is honestly, and I'm not saying this just to be nice, it's a great city. I see a lot of the US at the moment, and I arrived here. I hear your winters are mild and lovely. But no, I've loved being here. It's a beautiful city. People have been very welcoming. I've had a good chance to walk around. I would like to try and take the Basilica of St. Mary home with me. I haven't figured out a way to do that yet, but that church is stunning. It's a beautiful city. Love being here. I truly believe that what will save Catholic education is something that will sound preposterous, which is saints. My core message is that all of us as baptized Christians and Catholics are called to be saints. And I'm going to be saying that in the keynote today. You know, the Second Vatican Council made it really clear, we are all called to holiness and sanctity of life. So we're called to be saints. The only thing that will save Catholic education is saints. The only thing that will save marriages is saints. The only thing that will help young people step into their own destiny and purpose is allowing God to make them saints. I've come from 8,500 miles away to tell people the one great truth, that Jesus wants to make us holy because that will make us happy and we can help accomplish His kingdom purposes. And the longer any of us spend not pursuing that, it's a terrible waste. He has got so much planned for us, and I think we're often settling for way less than what He wants for us. So I'm just going to encourage people. I'm going to give them 6 strategies about, practical stuff around prayer, scripture, sacraments, stuff that we can do. We have to do things. We can't just sit in the corner and hope that He does it. We have to actually cooperate with that. So that's what I'm excited about. Love being here, and I hope it's a great day for everyone.
My name is Melissa Dunley, and I am a 5th and 6th grade teacher at St. John the Baptist School. The biggest reason would be the sense of community and everybody coming together and being able to learn from one another and interact with one another. The Mass this morning was beautiful. It was great just to have everybody there and to hear everybody participating and together. And then our first breakout session was, I learned some new things and I'm ready to implement them in my classroom. I was at the Balanced Literacy breakout session, so just learning about reading and writing workshops and time points for how long we should be spending on each part of the subject. I think we can all learn from one another, and so networking and meeting new people who are teaching at Catholic schools around the Twin Cities area will be wonderful, and then having connections with those people so that throughout the school year we can interact and learn from one another and build those relationships. Just knowing that there are so many people out there ready to help teach as Catholic school educators, and just knowing that there's such a community of people around and all from all over the Twin Cities. So, you know, you're not just in the South Metro or the North Metro, you're everywhere. And so pretty much everywhere you can go can find a school or a community of people that you can relate to and talk to and learn from. I would say Catholic school is a great way to be able to tie in, not only get a great education in what we're learning from a subject matter point standpoint, but also how that ties into our religion, how that ties into Catholicism, and making those connections for students. So they're getting a wonderful education, but they're also getting that religious education mixed in with their everyday activities.
My name is Janet Seidenkranz, and I work for St. Ambrose School in Woodbury. I know from being part of the private school that just helps with all amazing events, and their mission and goals fit in with the Catholic schools, and I'm happy to be part of that. We had an amazing Mass led by Archbishop Hebda this morning, and it was fulfilling and wonderful. It filled me up. I attended the session that Gail Dorn was putting on about ambassadors for our school, which we know is hugely important. For Catholic schools to be that ambassador, and I'm happy to do that. I'm a product of private school, as my children are, and it's a wonderful event. I've learned that Cisco is amazing in guiding our schools to their mission of enhancing excellence and increasing enrollment, and that's what we strive for. And it's evident here today with all the people that that's everybody's intention and goal. Oh, my hope obviously is to keep our Catholic schools alive and well and competitive and to fill our children up and be evangelists to our children. This is about our children and the feeling of community, and I think when you're in the Catholic schools, that's evident. And that's what I'd like to say is give your kids that opportunity, because there is no other feeling like that community. There really isn't. And I've been raised it and like given my children that opportunity, and it works. It works.
My name's Sean Slykew. I'm principal at St. Rose of Lima in Roseville. Cisco, about a year ago, asked us if we'd be interested in coming to an event like this, and of course I said our school would be there. It's something that hasn't been done for Catholic schools ever. This is something that the teachers want. They desire to be connected with each other, and that's why we're here. So far, we've had Mass, and with Sonar opening up Mass, beautiful music. It really energizes you, gets you into the spirit of what this day is all about. And that is truly why we're here, not only to get in touch with other colleagues, but to get to know Jesus a little bit more. I think the main things are going to be connections with other colleagues. Right now, you're kind of, even though you're part of the Archdiocese school system, you're kind of your own little island. And to make those connections outside of our school walls so teachers can collaborate and bounce ideas off of other people. Because a lot of times, teachers are the only subject matter in the school. So a science teacher, for example, can now connect with 79 other science teachers in the Archdiocese schools. I think I would say that the work that they're doing, they just don't even realize the impact they will have in the long term of those children. And that's the goal, to have that impact of students outside of our school walls, where they are global citizens and they are the people that are leading our countries and doing great things for everybody.
My name is Katie Danielson. I am the principal at Ave Maria Academy in Maple Grove. I decided to come to this conference and bring my whole team of teachers and all the supporting staff to give us just a renewal of our commitment to what we're doing in Catholic schools, to see what we're a part of. We're a part of this part of the church, and Catholic schools fill an important need in passing on the faith in the church family. This event is unifying that mission of all Catholic schools. It's bringing all these people together. You remind each other, and you see the numbers of people here. And my impression is that visual, that this experience of unity, will be very powerful in the days, months to come, and that being able to talk to other people who are in the same position as you in Catholic schools is renewing, but also can open the doors to to better ways of doing things, to another way of approaching a family or a student, and it can be very powerful.
I'm hoping that at this event, my faculty and staff get the picture of what we're a part of. We're a smaller Catholic school, so we have one class per grade. And sometimes that can create this silo effect for teachers, and they can feel alone in the work that they're doing. You know, we have a great team, but no one else is working with third graders. No one else is working with just fifth graders. So this event really allows them to connect with other people who are fulfilling that mission with those students and those families. The parent is so important, and that God gave them their children for a reason. And a Catholic school is there to be with them on that journey of raising their children and getting them to heaven. And that's the purpose of Catholic schools, is to create all these opportunities for encounters with Jesus Christ and to be the Christian community that we all need.
Well, what we just heard was interviews with participants in the first ever Catholic Schools Summit offered by Cisco. You know, Catholic education is important to all of us, and most likely our parents or grandparents attended a Catholic school, or we did. And, you know, that shapes communities, that shapes neighborhoods. And even if your child does not currently attend a Catholic school, chances are that their friends, either now or in the future, or their future neighbors, spouses, coworkers, will have attended a Catholic school, so it's important for all of us to pray for and support the strengthening of our Catholic schools. Okay, well, we'll be going to a commercial break soon. However, do stay tuned, as up next, we'll hear from one of my favorite priests. He's a great man of the church that we all know and love, who will hear about what's coming new around the corner for him. And I've had the honor of calling Monsignor Callahan not only my boss, however, also a friend the next few years. So stay tuned.
Rediscover. This is Carrie Becker with Becker Building and Remodeling, along with my daughter Annette, and we'd like to officially announce that our new design center in New Brighton is now open.
We built our design center because of many reasons, but most importantly, so we can give our clients a great design experience. We've worked hard to incorporate selections and designs that our clients want.
You'll be able to make many decisions for your remodel right in one location.
You're officially invited to start your remodel conversation today by making an appointment to visit our design center and talk with us about what projects you're thinking about.
Becker Building and Remodeling, we're a Catholic-owned design-build company that you can trust. Give us a call at 612-363-0493 to talk about your project and book an appointment in our new design center.
Keep on listening to Relevant Radio and keep the faith. Visit or call our new design center,
612-363-0493. And the clouds just parted on a corner of my life, and I can see for miles.
Well, welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm your guest host, Tisok Rosales. Before we bring on our first guest on the show, who is one of my favorite priests, let me set the stage as to why we're talking with him today, okay? So recently you may have heard that Archbishop Hebda, who is the chairman of the Board of Trustees of the St. Paul Seminary, and Monsignor Aloysius Callahan, who is the seminary rector and vice chair of the board, they jointly announced a leadership transition plan for the seminary, okay? This was a culmination of a process that began earlier in 2017 when Monsignor Callahan, having completed his second six-year term, indicated that this year would be his final year as rector. So, of course, with the approval of the seminary's Board of Trustees and the support of the bishops in the province of the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, Monsignor Thomas Richter, a priest of the Diocese of Bismarck, has been appointed the 15th rector of the St. Paul Seminary, and that's going to be effective in June 2018. So in preparation for that, Monsignor Richter will assume the responsibilities of vice-rector coming this January. And during this time, our friend Monsignor Callahan will work closely with Monsignor Richter and help him transition into the new role. However, what I want to share, and this is one of my favorite parts in all this, Following the transition, Monsignor Callahan will continue to serve the St. Paul Seminary. At the request of Archbishop Hebda, with the permission of Monsignor's bishop, the Most Reverend Alfred Schlert, Bishop of Allentown, Monsignor Callahan will, as Rector Emeritus, do this. He will assist in seminary advancement and community relations, which are vital to the continued success of forming men for the priesthood. And Monsignor Callahan will also be taking on new responsibilities related to the Archdiocese's ongoing clergy support initiative. So the new rector of the St. Paul Seminary will be coming within the next year, and you will meet him later in this show. Before we do, however, we'll get to talk with the current director about his priesthood, about his time at the St. Paul Seminary, and many of you know him well, but let me tell you a little bit about him, okay? So, Monsignor, let's see, we want to bring him on. Actually, why don't we have Monsignor Callahan? Monsignor, welcome to the show.
Thank you, T-Suck. It's great to be with you.
Oh, it's great to have you. And Monsignor, before we talk about some of the good things that have happened at the St. Paul Seminary while you've been there, let's go back a little bit for those listening. You know, it's MEA weekend, which means schools in Minnesota have the day off. So there are moms and dads out there who are listening, students as well, who may not always be able to tune in. So let's tell them, in your words, a little bit about yourself. I'd like to ask, what were some of the things, in addition to God's will, that went into you becoming a priest, Monsignor?
Well, thank you, T-Suck. And now, God willing, I can remember back that far. I'd be 47 years a priest this year. It seems like yesterday. But I came from a little hometown, coal mining town in Pennsylvania. Hectorsville was the name of it. It was originally called Irish Valley, which I preferred, but I didn't have any say in how they were going to name it later on. But in our parish, we had a pastor when I was a young boy, Father Charles Walsh. He was originally from Ireland. In fact, his father was one of the visionaries at Knock that way back in the day. But he was a tremendous priest. He was elderly at the time, but he was one of the first ones, besides my parents, that gave me the great inspiration to think about answering God's call to be a priest. I was an altar boy from third grade. Your son, I think, has had that experience. But altar boy from third grade, and I remember, together with my brother, we would serve daily Mass. And as I watched this older priest, who was well into advanced years at the time, watching him climb those steps to the altar and say Mass in such a devout and beautiful way, and you could tell him that he was a man of prayer, but a man for his people. And it just touched me that somehow I thought in that prayer that God would be calling me to do that. Could you imagine in third grade? But that came to me, and I don't think it ever left me from the beginning. And he had a great effect on my life, that old priest. He took me along with him at times on when he visited the sick or brought communion to them. And I went with him a couple of times when he anointed people, and it was very touching, and it showed me what you can do if you just give yourself over to God's will. And then I had a sister of St. Joseph, Sister James DeSales, of happy memory. I will never forget her because she was one of the toughest nuns that I ever met, and yet beloved by all of us, boys especially, because she could keep us in line, but she showed a certain dynamism and joy about what she was doing as a sister that just radiated in everything she did. But I think the most important part of the school day, besides recess, which we all love, but the important part of the school day was when we had religion with her, and she had those Bible stories, and she made them come alive. And you felt like you were there, and you could see in that woman that her faith was the most important thing to her. And not only that, but she wanted to instill that in us young children who, you know, when you're in school, it isn't the most exciting time of your life all day long in school, but that made it come alive. And I remember her, and I stayed close to that sister until she died. She died early from cancer. I was able to say Mass for her at the villa right before she died, and it was right after I was ordained. So both of those people had a great effect on my life, and I think it was that inspired me at the very beginning to begin the journey to seminary.
That's beautiful, Monsignor, and I know that your priesthood and many others have had similar impact on many other young people, so thank you for your yes and your priesthood, Monsignor Callahan.
Thank you.
You know, I know you've had some over your priesthood career, some very interesting assignments, and I've had the honor of hearing about some of them. One of my personal favorites, however, is listening about the assignment that led you to getting to know now Saint Mother Teresa. Can you tell us how you met her?
Well, I was working for the Holy See, and I was in at that time working in what was called then the Congregation for Religious that would oversee all of the religious communities, men and women throughout the world. And Mother Teresa, who had originally their sisters had been under the propagation of the faith, and now they were so growing in number that they came under us, she had to come to the Holy See after the new code of canon law to have their constitutions re-looked at and approved by the Holy Father. So they brought them to us, and my superior, then Archbishop Fagiolo, he met Mother, and that's when I met her for the first time. And she came in with all of these boxes of constitution books that they hadn't worried about how they should be handled. And the Archbishop said, "Don't worry, Mother. We have an American here, and he and I will work on these, and it will all work out." And she, I saw this little bundle of love there for the first time, and it was so moving. And then we got to be friends, and for the rest of my life, I was close to those sisters. But the first time, the Archbishop, and this is a little story I love to tell.
Yes.
When I went with, he called me, he was taking the sisters outside Rome to a place, and Mother was coming with us to talk to people, the sick and the suffering, pray for them, and then also the people of that diocese to talk about vocations. So I came down, he told me to come down and pick them up, and I came on down in this old car that I had. It was big, but it was old. But and outside of the Archbishop's door, there were three sisters, and he got in the back with two of them, and I got, and a sister got in the front with me, and I turned in, and there was Mother Teresa.
Oh,
and so, can you imagine? And then we were driving, and we were being led by these carabinieri, the state police on the autostrada, and they were really moving, if you will. I was driving, and it seemed like we were going about the equivalent of 90 miles an hour to keep up with these. And I thought I had Mother Teresa here, and she was saying the rosary. We were all saying Holy Mary, Mother of God. Mm-hmm. And I turned to her, I said, "Mother, could we change it to the act of contrition by any chance?" And she just laughed.
Did she take your advice?
Well, no. We finished the rosary, and then we said the act of contrition. But then when we went on, at the end of the day, I was so excited, I called my own mother, who was in a nursing home at the time, or assisted living, because she was going blind, and I said, "Mom, you're not going to believe this, but I just spent the whole day with Mother Teresa." And my mother said, "Al," she said, "she's a lovely lady, that old lady." And I said, "Mother, she's 3 years younger than you are." And my mother said, "Yes, Al, but," she said, "you know, That old sweater," and she said, "and all of those wrinkles."
Oh,
she said, "if you get out with her again, sneak into a drugstore and get a little bottle of oil of Olay and slip it to her. It works miracles for me." Can you imagine?
Oh.
So next time I was with Mother Teresa, I told her that story and explained oil of Olay, and she said to me, "Oh, Father, you must have a beautiful mother." She was the most amazing woman that you could imagine. And when you were with her, it was like you were the only person in the world that she was concerned with, and like anybody's mother. So
yeah, that's beautiful.
Great saint of God.
That's beautiful. What a neat opportunity. Well, Monsignor, let's shift to your current assignment, the St. Paul Seminary. And we want to hear some highlights from your time there. But before we do, I'd like just like to share with our listeners that during your tenure at the seminary, more than 170 men have been ordained to the priesthood. In addition to that, the highly successful Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute began. In addition to that, the institutes for diaconate and ongoing clergy formation were established. And really, St. Paul Seminary has become widely recognized as a regional center of formation for lay and ordained leaders in the church and the world. I mean, today there's more than 800 people who are enrolled in various formation programs at the St. Paul Seminary. So, wow, Monsignor, thank you for all of your role in all of that. Thank you.
Well, thank you. It's been, as I told the Archbishop, that this has been the greatest joy of my priesthood. I've done many things, and I've been blessed, and I've always loved being a priest.
Mm.
But this work here has not only rejuvenated me, because when you're with young people and young men who are giving their life to the Lord to be priests, and we're with all of these people who are engaged and enthused about proclaiming the gospel and going out and being witnesses to Jesus, you know, it reminds you of what you, when you first said yes to the Lord, and what it was like to get excited about all those first things. And so it kept me young, and hopefully it will keep me young. It's been a beautiful experience, and so many people I have to be thankful for that.
Sure.
I think highlight when I first came, I'd never been into this part of the world, I confess, but and the only one I knew was Archbishop Flynn at the time, and it was from 20 years before that I really met him, but we had stayed in touch, because as you know, when you meet Archbishop Flynn, you'll never forget him, and he'll certainly never forget you. He remembers everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a hero to me, because when he would walk into a room or anywhere, or if he was talking to you, you never left his presence that you didn't feel some joy.
Mm-hmm.
It was upbeat. And that brought me here and kept me here for those times. And I said, if I could only be like him. Mm-hmm. And I tried my best, and I'm trying my best to do that. And all of the bishops, Archbishop Neinstedt, he would come out to the seminary, and he was very supportive of everything we did. And it was a blessing to me to be with someone around my age who could help me with his experience, because he too was a rector. And then Archbishop Hebda, I have to confess that I knew him when he was a student. You know, I'm getting old enough. I think I was ordained by St. John Newman. But he has been a wonderful presence. He's one of the most capable people, and yet most, how would you say, humble in his approach, and yet you just enjoy being with him, because I think he could disarm anybody, no matter what their thoughts or what their intentions. He has a disarming personality because he's full of joy for the priesthood, and I think those three shepherds have been a great example to me.
Wow. Well, Monsignor, I know I speak for many, not only myself, but your priesthood has meant the similar things to me and to many, many countless others across this nation, really, and across the globe. So thank you for your priesthood, Monsignor. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and we pray for each other.
Yeah, that's right.
Your son, I have my eye on him. He's going to be a priest. So
okay.
Keep that in mind.
Good. Well, I hope he's listening. You know, we've got about just over a minute and a half left, but what Monsignor, what do you see for the future of the St. Paul Seminary? What is the dream? What is the hope? What is the vision going forward?
Well, the dream is we're even greater things we talk about, but we have so many good things happening here in such a vibrant church, and with the strength, and especially this new rector who's coming, Monsignor Richter. I call him the baby Monsignor because he's younger, but he is, when you meet him, he's strong, he's energetic, he has a passion to proclaim the gospel and to be with these men and lead them, because to be a rector, you're the father of this community, and mm-hmm. it's been a glorious experience for me. And I think he too will feel what a blessing it is to be able to help these men and women come closer to the Lord and realize that he's the father. Now, I guess by saying that, by continuing here, I guess I'm the grandfather. They'll all be calling me Gramps. But I love it, and I couldn't imagine doing anything else.
Oh, wonderful. Well, Monsignor, we're very glad that you will be remaining in the local area and continuing to serve the local church. Thank you so much for everything, Monsignor.
And thank you, TSOC, and then for Tom Ryan and all of you people who help forward the cause here and support this seminary.
We all do our part.
I tell everybody, whenever they can, to pray for us, but also give financial support through people like yourself who are giving your life to this work.
Thank you, Monsignor. God bless you. We'll talk to you soon. Okay. Great. Well, in a moment, we'll bring on that. First of all, that was fantastic, and I just have to collect myself. Monsignor is, for those that haven't had the chance to get to know him, you will, because he's staying around. He's just a blessing to our local church, so we're very grateful for that. So in a moment, we'll bring on the priest charged with succeeding Monsignor Callahan as rector of the St. Paul Seminary. So without further ado, let's bring on Monsignor Thomas Richter. Hello, Monsignor.
Good morning, DeSoc. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for letting me have some time with your listeners this morning.
Oh, absolutely. Well, we're just elated, and you got to hear a little bit of Monsignor Callahan's interview. Have you and Monsignor Callahan met before? I take it you have, right?
We have, in fact, more than once, and just recently we had coffee together out in St. Paul with the Archbishop, when the Archbishop had me come out and meet some people. Sure. So it was a joy. Yeah, sure. I trust comedy relief isn't a requirement to be rector.
Well, he does have a sense of humor.
I can't meet that standard.
Well, because we're going to have you tell jokes for the next 10 minutes. So, Monsignor Richter, not only welcome to the show, but an early welcome to the local church here and to the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. So,
TSOC, thank you so much.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, when the Archbishop flew me out, I don't know, a few weeks ago out there, ever since, there's been... great desire and excitement Welling up more and more in my heart, looking forward to come out, being at that wonderful institution we call the St. Paul Seminary, and be with those fine men. So,
well, Monsignor, help us get to know you. Tell us a little bit about your, you know, priesthood and what led to, in addition to God's will, things that led you to become a priest.
Well, first of all, I was ordained in 1996. I've been a priest a little over 21 years, more than half of that priesthood. I served as the vocation director for the Diocese of Bismarck. And so that was 11 years. And then for more than a dozen years, I've been involved with that great group we call the Institute for Priestly Formation that is involved with forming seminarians and priests largely in knowing how to pray and knowing how to draw near to the heart of Christ. And so 21 years of priest, and most of it been in formation. And so I'm looking forward to a certain sort of just natural continuation of being involved with seminary formation at St. Paul.
Sure.
But I come from wonderful parents. Wonderful parents, and I'm not saying that just because they're listening. It's true. And a wonderful family. I come from a large family, T-Soak. I'm number 7 of 14.
That's fantastic.
I'm right in the middle. 10 boys, 4 girls. I couldn't be more proud of my siblings and how we've grown close as we have gone into our adult years. I also have a brother right below me who's a priest here in the diocese, a parish priest. And so to share the priesthood with him is a great joy. So it started the end of my senior year in high school. I started thinking about it. And these crazy ideas started coming into my mind. I should think about the seminary. They scared me a little bit, and maybe more than a little bit. And so it took me 4 years to actually say yes to it. It's amazing how fear can keep one from saying yes to Jesus and to let him get his way and to bless you. It's so irrational how we can be afraid of the gifts of God, but that's part of our situation.
Sure.
Anyway, so I then instead of going into the seminary, I went to 2 years of State College here, and then 2 years to North Dakota State University in Fargo, and so I wrestled and studied engineering and got an electrical engineering degree.
Okay.
And, you know, once I graduated with electrical engineering degree and wasn't sure if I knew the difference between AC and DC, I decided...
Isn't that a band?
I'm not going to acknowledge that.
That's fine.
So no, during those 4 years of college, D-Soak, I was, it was almost on my mind every day. And then, by the grace of God and all kinds of help of my others, I finally said, you know, I need to check this out. And so went to Cardinal Mitch Seminary, little minor seminary in Fargo for 2 years, and then studied 4 years of theology at the Angelicum and while receiving formation at the North American College. Yeah.
Well, what go ahead.
It's just been a wonderful life. Both my seminary years, you know, what's the best preparation for marriage? Being under a beautiful marriage in your home, mom and dad. What's the best preparation for parenting? Being parented well. And I think what's the best preparation for forming seminarians? Having been under great formators. And I had two of the finest, in my opinion, Cardinal Dolan, who's now the Archbishop in New York, and Cardinal O'Brien, the Grand Master of the Knights of the Holy Sepulchre. They were my two rectors for my 4 years of theology.
Really?
And they
were
just the finest of men.
Sure. That's really great. So that sounds like a wonderful time in seminary for you. You know, Monsignor, I like to tell people that at the seminaries, we have a front row seat to the future of our church, and I'm sure you'd agree with me, Monsignor, that the future looks bright, you know?
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
I fully concur. Anybody who feels a need to have hope for the future of the church, you just go visit a seminary. The men there are generous. They're sincere. They're authentic. They're some of the finest young men you can find in our generation. And so you're right. It's encouraging.
Sure.
The two places I go to be encouraged as a priest is the seminary or visit the first graders across the street.
Isn't that true? Yeah, that's right.
And yeah.
That's good.
All is well then.
Sure. Monsignor, what excites you the most about this new position?
Well, first of all, the Archbishop, I can't speak highly enough of Archbishop Hebda.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he asked me and told me to think about it and pray about it, that was the first thing that came to my heart and my mind.
Mm-hmm.
What a privilege it'd be to be under the leadership of this Archbishop.
Mm-hmm.
Second is... Tisok, I can't think of a better way to spend one's life, to shed one's blood and drip one's sweat than forming men to be priests. It's one of the greatest works in the church.
Sure, sure.
To form future priests. And so just the mission and the opportunity to make that kind of difference and that kind of influence, especially in our province, you know, with St. Paul being the provincial seminary. So I find that very exciting. Living on Summit Avenue is not a bad about a perk either.
It's a pretty area. It sure is.
I love the city of St.
Sure.
Paul.
Good, good.
And that whole environment of St. Thomas. And
yep.
So.
Yep. Well, you know, it is an important mission. You're right. And when you think about it, I mean, the young men that we'll all be forming together and everyone has a role in this, they will impact a generation. I mean, you know, there'll be priests for 50, 60 years. I mean, there will be countless people that the formation they received under you at the St. Paul Seminary will have an impact for generations to come. So talk to us, Monsignor, about what do you see the challenges of not only our local church, but you know, beyond? What are the challenges in our church today?
The challenges, I think, for a man being formed to be a priest is the challenge basically of pretty much anybody who's trying to have a relationship with Jesus and be faithful and remain in him.
Mm-hmm.
I think what the focus needs to be in seminary formation is human formation and spiritual formation.
Mm-hmm.
You have four pillars. You have intellectual, pastoral, human, and spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And so what the great St. John Paul II really brought to the forefront in his Pastoris Dei Vobis, his kind of Magna Carta on seminary formation, is what he called affective maturity.
Mm.
The capacity to enter into relationship with others.
Mm-hmm.
That capacity to be able to be good with people.
Mm.
The capacity to have healthy interpersonal relationships.
Mm-hmm.
That is first and fundamental in any life, but especially a priest, in order for the church to bring Christ to the people. The priest needs to be able to be have a high capacity to be able to enter into relationship with others. So, and that's what human formation is all about. And then spiritual formation, the other capacity, of course, is cor ad cor loquitur, right? Heart speaking to heart.
Mm.
That a priest has to be a friend of Christ who knows him very closely, knows how to go to him, knows how to receive love from him, knows his friendship, his brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
Tisok, I'm convinced of this.
Yeah.
Any priest who knows how to stay close to Christ and be loved by him, and that's a real friendship. He has a real lived relationship with our Lord. Any priest who has that is a healthy priest, a happy priest, and a holy priest.
Amen. Amen.
And that is always going to be the forefront of the effectiveness of the church to carry out her mission.
Wow.
Healthy, happy, holy priests. And I also find that very thing, A man who's loved, whether that's a married man, a husband, a father, a priest, that man's attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And that man's secure.
Mm-hmm.
And thus that man can lead. And so for me, that's really what I find to be both the goals and the challenges. And so in the social media world,
mm-hmm.
and the technology world and all of that, that presents more of a challenge. Even, you know, I'm not that old, T-Silk. I'm certainly not in the same generation as Monsignor
Kelly. We'll all get there. We'll get there together.
And thus, of course, not as wise. But when I was at the North American College, and this isn't that long ago, I was ordained in 96.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have email.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And so we hung out a lot.
Yeah.
More. And so I think that's a challenge, certainly not insurmountable or anything
sure.
like that. But those would be the two
sure.
Things I would.
Sure.
I would hold up, I think.
Well, we just can't wait, Monsignor, for you to come and impart that history and that the desire and passion onto the future generation of our church. So we're excited to have you, and we're looking forward to working together on this. So welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you, T-Silk, and anybody to all the listeners in the Archdiocese. I look so forward to being out there working with all the good people there and joining in the mission to form our future priests.
Great, great. Monsignor Richter, would you give us an on-air blessing before we part?
Certainly, through the intercession of St. Paul of the Cross, whose feast day we celebrate today, and through that great, beautiful woman who knew how to receive the Holy Spirit, the Blessed Mother, through their intercession, may Almighty God bless all of you with His greatest blessings so that He may get His way in your life today. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Monsignor.
Be well.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon.
God bless. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, so that we just heard from our current rector and Monsignor Callahan, as well as Monsignor Richter, who will be coming in January and then assuming the role of rector in July.
As we enter the new school year, fall sports and activities, remember to take care of your dental health. I am Dr. Janet of the Dentist House of Edina. Dr. Mike and I welcome our friends from Relevant Radio with a comfortable approach to dentistry. We can help you attain your optimum dental health with modern, efficient treatment techniques. We work with most dental plans and offer a membership plan that includes discounts for most dental procedures for those without insurance. We have a flexible schedule to accommodate your needs. Enjoy the view out of our picture windows of this colorful, crisp time of year while we brighten and maintain your smile. Look us up on the web at dentisthouse.com or call us at the Dentist House of Edina at 952-929-9131. 952-929-9131. We look forward to seeing you.
You can borrow.
Well, thanks again for listening to the Rediscover Hour. We have a list of events coming up locally. Paul, can you tell us what's going on?
Well, I'll get you started anyway. The Nativity Grandparents Apostolate invites all grandparents to a time of celebration, encouragement, prayer, and fellowship on Wednesday, October 25th at Nativity of Our Lord Catholic Church in St. Paul. Father James Stiles, parochial vicar of St. Odelia in Shoreview, will present Fatima, a message for the childlike of heart. Mass at 8:15 in the church, then downstairs in Steiner Hall for the program. For more, visit the events page at archspm.org or call the parish office 651-696-5401 with any questions.
The Office of Marriage, Family, and Life invites all to honor those who respect life at the annual St. John Paul II Champions for Life Awards on Friday, October 27th from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. at the Church of St. Peter in Mendota Heights. Special guest will be Bishop Andrew Cousins with keynote speaker Maddie Schulte. Make your reservations online at the event page at archspm.org. The cost is $35 per person or $280 for a table of eight. please RSVP by October 23rd. For more information, contact the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life at mfl@archspm.org or 651-291-4488.
St. Stephen's Catholic Church of Anoka invites you to an evening for all ages to enjoy great music by Danielle Rose, my buddy. Danielle Rose is a music missionary who invites others to experience the Eucharistic love of Jesus and Mary through song. There will also be a special appearance by local Mexican folkloric dancers. The evening will provide fellowship and the opportunity to buy unique handcrafted items made by the Venezuelan people. All proceeds go to help support the needs of the Latino community of St. Stephen's in Anoka and the Venezuelan mission of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. Free will offering will be taken. To find out more, call 763-421-2471. We've got about enough time left to find out what's coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour, Tiso.
Okay, well, 500 years ago, an Augustinian monk named Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the Catholic Church in Wittenberg, Germany, marking the beginning of what would become known as the Protestant Reformation. But where are we now, 500 years later? Are we closer to unity or farther from it? Join us next time on the Rediscover Hour as we welcome Protestant ministers Rick Mattson and Joanna Fonts back to the program to talk about how Catholics and Protestants can continue to strive toward true unity.
Good job.
Thanks, Paul.
We'll see you next time.
Sounds good.
Soon.
Okay, good.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, Rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.